All right, Jehovah say, good morning, let's begin. A lot to do today. Today's daf is Kuf Yotes 119. It's amazing, man. There's like so many new beginnings and so many conclusions all coalescing around the same couple of days. It's quite dramatic. Okay, so we'll say Kuf Yotes 119. We are picking up Kuf Yotes with days 118b, and we are picking up four lines up from the bottom. Oel Moed Shebenov VeGivon Chamishim Sheva. So also remember again, the Oel Moed in Givon and Nov stood for 57 years. That's combined. Remember again, we've already seen that Nov and Givon are always reckoned together. 57 years. Meanwhile, and where do we know that? From Dechsev Vahikas Kiras Arnalakim. So also remember again, this is by the Pasuk in Eli, when Eli's sons Chafni and Pinchas took the Aron out to war inappropriately. Aron is lost in the war with Plishtim. Eli hears about it. Eli falls back and dies. Vahikas kiras arna lakim v'tana kishames Eli charva Shiloh. When Eli died, Shiloh was destroyed. Ubal l'Nov, and they came to Nov. Kishames Shmuel haramasi charva Nov ubal l'Givon. When Shmuel died, Nov was destroyed, and they went to Givon. Uksiv vahim yom shavas ha'aron b'kiryas ya'aron v'yom vayu esrim shana v'yanoh kol beis Yisrael acharei Hashem. And what's saying the Pasuk says that it was in the day that the Aron came to Kiryat Ya'arim. And what happened? They stayed there for 20 years, and Klal Yisrael longed to follow after HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hani Esrim Shana, those 20 years of Osai, are comprised of what? Esr Shana Shemal Shmuel Biatzmo, 10 years that Shmuel reigned by himself. And we'll say, what does that mean? Now remember again, when he calls Shmuel a king, because Shmuel was the leader of the Jewish people before they asked for a king. We'll say, remember again, Shmuel Hanavi dies as a young man. He dies at the age of 52. He's called old. Why? Why? He's called old, right? Because his position aged him. Right? That's what Jewish communal involvement does, right? So he looked like an old man, but in fact he was only 52 years old. So Esr Shana Shemalach Shmuel Biatzmo, V'Shana Shemalach Shmuel, 1 year that Shmuel reigned, V'Shol, together with Shol, U'Shtaim Shemalach Shol, which was in 2 years that Shol reigned by himself, V'Sheva de David, in 7 years of David. Now we'll discuss, David reigns for more than 7 years. We'll discuss what that means in just a moment. Top of Kuf Yotes, Tichsiv, V'Yomim HaShem Malach David al Yisrael Mem Shana. David HaMelech reigned over Klal Yisrael for 40 years. So, B'Chevron Malach Zayin Shana, in Chevron he reigned for 7 years. U'B'Shlomo Ksiv, and Rabbi said, B'Shlomo it says, V'Yachal Livnos B'Shnas Arba'a L'Malchuso. Shlomo HaMelech begins to build the Beis HaMikdash in the fourth year of his reign. So we'll say, what the Gemara essentially did is, if you put all of these years together, essentially from the destruction of Shiloh until the building of the Beis HaMikdash, it turns out that what? Nishtairu l'Shiloh shlosh me'os v'shivim chasar achas. But mostly we learn out from here that Shiloh stood for 369 years, and the combined time of Nov and Givon was 57 years. So we've got Gilgal for 14 years, Nov and Givon, Shiloh for 369 years, Nov and Givon for 57 years, and then we come ultimately again to the building of the Beis HaMikdash. Bol and Nov and Givon. So also remember again, the Mishnah says that when they came to Nov and Givon, so remember again, what happened to Nov and Givon? So Hutra Bamos, so you are permitted to go ahead and build Bamos. I'm reading from the Mishnah. Kachik Adashim had to be eaten within the curtains of the Mishkan in Nov, but Kachim Kalim could be eaten anywhere. So it says the Gemara, where do we know this? In other words, we'll say what the Gemara is asking here is, from where do we know that Bamos were permitted after Kiddushas Shiloh? How do we know that after Shiloh was destroyed, so the Bamos become permitted? So the Gemara says, Tanu Rabbanan, Kilo Basim Ad Ata Ala Menucha Ve Ala Nachala. Because Moshe Rabbeinu says, good morning, Mr. Schoenfeld. Because Moshe Rabbeinu says, Kilo Basim Ad Ata Ala Menucha Ve Ala Nachala. Because again, I will say this week's parsha. Because Moshe Rabbeinu says to Klal Yisrael, you have not yet come to the Menucha and the Nachala. Menucha means resting place, Nachala inheritance. What is this a reference to? So the Gemara says, Ela Menucha, Zu Shiloh. Menucha refers to Shiloh. Nachala, Zu Yerushalayim. Nachala refers to Yerushalayim. Lamama Chalkon. We'll say, so why does Moshe Rabbeinu reckon Shiloh and the Beis HaMikdash separately? To teach you what? Kedei litein heter bein ze lezeh. In order to teach Rabbosai that in between the time periods of time of Shiloh and the Beis HaMikdash, so Bamos are permitted. The fact that Moshe Rabbeinu mentions them separately is to tell us that when there's Shiloh, no Bamos. When there's Beis HaMikdash, no Bamos. But in between Shiloh and Beis HaMikdash, Bamos are permitted. Amar Lei, Reish Lakish Rabbi Yochanan. So Reish Lakish says Rabbi Yochanan, if that's the case, Meiser Sheni Nami Lisni. Ultimately, again, so says Reish Lakish, so why don't you go ahead and say, or talk about Meiser Sheni as well, and say that Meiser Sheni can be consumed anywhere outside. Look at Rashi. Rashi says, Ihachi. Yochi, the Bashas Heter Avoy, Naisi Nami Meiser Sheni Lenovi Givon, Shari Nistalku called Kidusha Shilo, Umaitam Lotrama Sisin Lochlosham. Why doesn't it say that Meiser Sheni has to be eaten by Novin Givon as well? To which the word says, Amale, Meiser Sham Me Aron Kayalfi. There is a Gzir Shava of Sham between Meiser Sheni and the Aron. Meaning it says Sham in both contexts. Mikavan the Aron Lohava, Meiser Nami Lohavi. But say, since in Novin Givon there was no Aron, the Aron was housed elsewhere, so therefore again, when there's no Aron, there is no obligation to bring Meiser Sheni to that particular place. Look at Rashi. V'chevan da'aron lo'hava, d'chol yimeinu v'givon haya aron b'kiryat ya'arim, chaf shana, u'bi'ir David ad shenim la'bayis. Well, so there's actually another very interesting fact. Novin Givon served as a centralized place of service. There was the Mishkan. The Aron was not housed there. The Aron was an off-site facility, a secure off-site facility in Kiryas Ya'arim. I don't know, by the way, if it's like Telstone. I don't know if that's biblical. I have to look at it. I don't know if that's biblical Kiryas Ya'arim. So in any event, so the Gemara says, so therefore, the obligation to bring Meiser Sheni to the Makam of the Mishkan is fundamentally dependent on the presence of the Aron. If the Aron is there, then you have to bring your Meiser Sheni there. If the Aron is not there, then you need not bring your Meiser Sheni there. Therefore, says the Gemara, there was no Aron in Ovin Givon, and therefore no obligation to bring Meiser Sheni. If that's the case, Ihochi Pesach v'Kodshim Nami, right? Why don't you go ahead and also say that by Pesach and Kodshim, it should be the same as well. The Sham Sham Me Aron Yalfi, I can make a Gzir Shava of Sham Sham from Pesach and Kodshim ultimately to Aron as well. And say, just like there's no Aron, so too you shouldn't be obligated to bring Pesach and Kodshim there. The Chevan de Aron Lohava Inhu Nami Lohavu. Since there's no Aron, maybe you shouldn't bring these things as well. Amrle de Amrlecha Hamani, Rabbi Shimoni, because I'll say to you, who's opinion this is affected by? I'll say, this is Rabbi Shimon, de Amr Af Tzibar Lohikrivu Ela Pesach V'chavos HaKavua Lahan Zman. Today in Achinami, Rabbi Shimon, we saw the Shita yesterday, Rabbi Shimon holds that only Karban Pesach and only Chavos and other obligations, obligatory offerings, which have a set time, were offered up in the Mishkan. Aval chovos she'im kavu alahen zman. But ultimately, again, obligatory offerings which do not have a set time, so hacha v'hacha lo karav, are not offered up either on a bama gidola or a bama kitana. So meiser behema chovos she'im kavu alahen zman. So when it comes to meiser behema, they are considered to be obligatory offerings that do not have a set time. V'iskish meiser dagon le meiser behema. And I will say meiser dagon is ultimately, again, compared to Meiser Behema. Michlal, Dil Rabbi Yehuda, Krav. And now it would seem that according to Rabbi Yehuda, in fact, these items would be offered up, to which the Gemara says, in Dom Rav Adabar Masna, Meiser Sheni, or Meiser Behema, Ne'achalin Benovi Gimel, Dil Rabbi Yehuda. Then, in fact, Rabbi Yehuda does hold that Meiser Sheni and Meiser Behema are, in fact, offered up in Novin Givon. I v'habai bira. Rabbi says, here's the problem. When it comes to Meiser Sheni and Meiser Behema, so the Gemara says it requires bira. Rabbi says, bira literally means like a tower. What it means is it requires, ultimately, again, it requires lifnei Hashem. It requires being done in the presence of God. So the Gemara says, v'lav tani Rav Yosef shalosh biros heim. Did Rav Yosef not teach us in yesterday's daf that in fact, Rav Yosef, there are three biros, three domiciles of the Ribbono Shel Olam, and what were they? Shiloh, v'no v'givon, u'beis olamim, hu tani la v'hu amar la, l'achilas Meiser Sheni v'ali b'drav Yehuda. So we'll see, he explained it that in fact it's talking about ultimately again Meiser Sheni. If you look at Rashi, Hashtavahaba inan bira dechsev lifnei Hashem elokeichem. Ultimately, again, we'll say bira means where there's an explicit requirement of being before God. So therefore, the Gemara answers, he's talking about achilas Meiser Sheni and in accordance with the position of Rabbi Huda as we espoused above. So bottom line, what the Gemara just highlights over here is the statement of the Mishnah, namely the concept that once we came to Nov and Givon, here's what I'll say, the important takeaway, which is once we come to Nov and Givon, halacha lemaisa, again, bamos become permitted. And once bamos become permitted, Once Baal must become permitted. So why are they permitted? So the Gemara Darshins, based on Moshe Rabbeinu's statement, Kilo basem, kilo basem, that's the Lashon of the Pasuk, Kilo basem ad ata el hamenucha ve'el hanachala. Moshe Rabbeinu explicitly articulates two distinct periods of menucha and nachala. We're going to discuss what those mean in greater depth in just a moment, but for now the Gemara understands menucha shilo, nachala is beis hamikdash. Why does Moshe Rabbeinu explicitly articulate these two places? To teach you that it's in these two places of centralized service where there is an issur of bamos, but in between the periods of menucha and nachala, bamos ultimately again will be permitted. What's permitted on Bamos in between those two periods? So must remember again, that's the Braisa we saw 2 days ago that has the four-way machlokes about what you could do on a Bama Kitana and a Bama Gidola. So everyone will agree that Bamos are permitted between Shiloh and between the Beis HaMikdash. That everyone agrees with. The machlokes is what are you offering on those Bamos. And that machlokes devolves upon both what we call a Bama Kitana, which is a private altar, and a Bama Gidola, which was the public centralized altar. Good. Both Yerushalayim. So also when it came to Yerushalayim, so the Mishnah says, Ne'esru ha-Bamos, so Bamos became prohibited, V'lo haya lahem heter. So ultimately, again, I will say, and there is no heter after Yerushalayim. In other words, so to this day, Bamos are prohibited. Says the Gemara, turn Rabbanon, Kilo basim adata ala menucha vela nachala. So the Gemara quotes the Pasuk again. Moshe Rabbeinu says, because you have not yet come, you have not yet arrived to the menucha nachala. Says the Gemara, menucha zu shilo nachala zu Yerushalayim. So we'll say, the Gemara says, menucha shilo nachala zu Yerushalayim. Va'omer, v'haysa li nachalasi ka'arye bayar. The Pasuk says, quoting over the Pasuk from Yirmiyo, my nachala, my portion to me, was like a lion in the forest. Va'omer, ha'ayit tzavua nachaltili, ha'ayit saviv aleha. Because we'll say, the Pasuk says, we're going to expound on these psukim. This Pasuk, we'll say, literally means, the colored bird is my portion, the other animals, ha'ayit savivla, the birds of prey surround it. So, divrei Rabbi Huda, these psukim actually, we're going to discuss in a greater depth the colored bird. The idea is the colored bird is the bird that stands out. And because it stands out, very often the other animals pick on it. So the Navi describes Klal Yisrael as the colored bird that is surrounded by other birds of prey. And the colored bird, because of its beautiful colors, is an easy target for everyone else. Dear Rabbi Yehuda, so we'll say, leaving aside the Pesukim for just a moment, these are the words of Rabbi Yehuda, Menucha Shilo, Nachal Zu Yerushalayim. Shimon Omer, Menucha Zu Yerushalayim, Nachal Zu Shilo. But Shimon says, no, Menucha is Yerushalayim, Nachal is Shilo. The Omer, Zos Menuchasi, and I will say, by the way, just so you understand, the reason the Gemara quotes the Psukim, ultimately, again, is because the Navi talks about the Haisa Li Nachalosi Ka'arye Bayar. So we were saying these Psukim in Yirmiyah are actually making reference to Yerushalayim, and Yerushalayim is referred to as what? As a Nachalo. Therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu says that you have not yet come to the Menucha and the Nachala. Rabbi Huda understands Menucha to mean Shilo. Nachala means Yerushalayim Beis HaMikdash. Rabbi Shimon says, no, Menucha zu Yerushalayim, Nachala zu Shilo. He says just the opposite. Menucha zu Yerushalayim, Nachala is Shilo. Va'omer zos Menuchasi ad-de'ad. Po'eshev ki'ivisiha. So we'll say, he quotes over here, the Pasuk from Tehillim, Zos Menuchasi. So what do you see? So you see Yerushalayim is called a Menucha. Va'omer, Ki Bachar Hashem B'tzion Iva L'moshavlo. And I will say, the Pasuk immediately following, which actually immediately before it, is talking about Yerushalayim. So David talks about Yerushalayim, talks about Ki Bachar Hashem B'tzion, and immediately afterwards he says, Zos Menuchasi. So therefore Rabbi Shimon says that what? Menucha refers to Yerushalayim. So Nachala is Shilo, Menucha is Yerushalayim. So it says the Gemara, here's the problem. Bisho Lamadam Menucha Zu Shilo Hainu Dixiv Ela Menucha Vela Nachala. So also according to Rabbi Yehuda, I understand Rabbi Yehuda says Menucha Shilo, Nachala is Yerushalayim. So to him that makes a lot of sense. Why? Why I will say? Because chronologically in the Pasuk it makes sense. Moshe Rabbeinu says you have not yet come to the Menucha and the Nachala. So Menucha according to Rabbi Yehuda is Shilo, Nachala is Yerushalayim, that makes sense. So Ella the Mandamar Menucha Zu Yerushalayim Nachala Zu Shilo Ella Nachala VeAmenucha Miboyle. But according to Rabbi Shimon, who says that Menucha ultimately is Yerushalayim and Nachala is Shilo, Moshe Rabbeinu should have said Ella Nachala VeEl HaMenucha. Hachi kamar. This is what it means to say. Lo mibay menucha de lo matisu, ela afilu lenachala lo matisu. So we'll say, according to this opinion, when Moshe Rabbeinu says this, this in fact is an initial reference to Gilgal, according to this approach. When Moshe Rabbeinu says, kilo basem ad ata ela menucha ve ela nachala, he's actually saying, when you get to Gilgal, which we'll say, if you think about it, is logical, is an incredible interpretation. Moshe Rabbeinu is talking to them by Eivah Hayarden. They're about to go in. What's the first stop for the Mishkan when they come into Eretz Yisrael? Gilgal. How long is it in Gilgal for? 14 years. 7 years of Kibush, 7 years of Chiluk. Right? So according to his opinion, Moshe Rabbeinu was telling them, when you get to Gilgal and you set up shop there, understand, So when you get to Gilgal, that Mishkan will certainly not have the status of the Menucha of the Beis HaMikdash, but not only that, it won't even have the status of Nachala of Shiloh. So the Gemara says, Tanu Rabbi Shmuel, Zuvazu Shiloh. So we'll say, in Tanu Rabbi Shmuel, they taught that both Menucha and Nachala, both are referring to Shiloh. Rabbi Shimon Yochai Omer, Zuvazu Yerushalayim. Ashpi says, no, it's both a reference to Yerushalayim. Sabishlam Laman Da Amra Menucha Zu Shiloh, Nachala Zu Yerushalayim. Inami Ipcha. So we'll say, if you say that Menucha is Shiloh, and Nachala is Yerushalayim, or even vice versa, or that Menucha is Yerushalayim, and Nachala is Shiloh, Hainu dichsiv ala menucha bi ala nachala. See, Rabbi say, if you accept the premise that menucha and nachala apply to two different things, then what? Then I understand why you need two different descriptive terms. Because Moshe is talking about two different places, Shiloh and Yerushalayim. So we can have machlokis, like Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, about which term refers to what. That's fine, we can have that discussion. But I understand the need for two words. Ela leman do amar zuvazu Shiloh, o zuvazu Yerushalayim, Menucha nachala mi baile. So I'll say, but I don't understand. If both menucha and nachala, if both of those terms refer to the same place, either both of them referring to Yerushalayim, or both of them referring to the Beis HaMikdash, then I have a simple question, which is what? Why do I need two terms to refer to the same place? To which the Gemara says, Kasha. You know what? That is a good question. So just so you understand where we are right now, because it's actually quite dramatically exciting. So we'll say, and this is dramatically exciting because it's mamish like trying to figure out what is Moshe Rabbeinu telling Klal Yisrael? What's the statement that is being made here? So we'll say, so Moshe Rabbeinu is telling them, Kilo basim andata ala menucha v'anachala. So let's go through what we have. Either menucha means Yerushalayim, nachala means, let's do it easier. Menucha means Shiloh, nachala means Beis HaMikdash, or menucha means Beis HaMikdash, nachala means Yerushalayim. And I will say, if that's the case, according to that second approach, Moshe is actually talking to them not just about Yerushalayim and Shiloh, but he's also talking to them about what? About what? About Gilgal, and telling them that Gilgal will not be as great as, certainly as the Beis HaMikdash, but not even as great as Shiloh. And I will say, third possibility is Menucha and Nachala both mean Yerushalayim. Fourth possibility is that Menucha and Nachala both mean what? Both mean Shiloh. So I will say, so again, it's dramatically amazing because here, Moshe Rabbeinu is clearly conveying to Klal Yisrael something of incredible importance, and yet we have a four-way machlokes what he is actually referring to. So it says the Gemara, Bishlam Alaman Amar, Zuvizu Shiloh. So I'll say, I understand if you say that both Menucha and Nachala refer to Shiloh. So what I will say, so why, what matters, if you hold that they both refer to Shiloh, obviously if the Torah is using two, if Moshe is using two different words, two different descriptive terms to refer to Shiloh, they must describe two distinct aspects of Shiloh's identity. Says the Gemara, so Bishlam Alaman Amar, Zuvizu Shiloh, Menucha, why is it called Menucha? Denochu Bikibush, because we'll say it was in Shiloh where they rested from conquering. Nachala zu depalgu hasam nachalos. It's called Nachala. Why? Because that's the place we'll say ultimately again where they also concretized the division of the land. So we'll say, remember again, as much as the Mishkan is in Gilgal, over the 14 years, 7 of Kibush, 7 of Chiluk, 7 of conquering, 7 of dividing, the war really isn't over until the end of the 14 years. And apparently the division itself was fully solidified and concretized in the Mishkan in Gilgal. Because the Pasuk says, the Gemara says, the Pagwasam Nachlos, Tchsiv, Vayach, Gomorrah quotes the Pasuk from which one the Pasuk from Yoshua. Vayashlech Yoshua, Gorah Beshilo, Lefne Hashem, Vayachalik Shem Yoshua, Esaris, Ibne Yisrael, Kimachlok Sam. So we'll say, so what happens is after they had divided it up amongst themselves, they also did a Gorah, they also did a lottery in the Mishkan in Shiloh. So therefore I will say it's called the Menucha, because when the Mishkan was reestablished in Shiloh, it was a period of peace and tranquility. Nachala, which means inheritance, because it is the place ultimately where the tribal portions were solidified amongst Chal Yisrael. Good. So Ella Lamandam Zuvzu Yushalayim. So we'll say, but if you hold that both Menucha and Nachala both refer to Yushalayim, so listen to this. So Bishlam and Nachala, Nachalos Olamim. So we'll say, I understand why Yushalayim is called Nachala. It's actually quite beautiful. Why is it called Nachala? We'll say, because Nachala refers to an inheritance. An inheritance, it's a Nachala Olamis. It is a portion, portion is better. Nachala Olamis. It is an eternal portion for Klal Yisrael. Ella Menucha, my Menucha. We'll say, ultimately, again, why is Yushalayim ultimately called Menucha? So we'll say, by the way, if you think about it, if there's one thing Yerushalayim cannot be called, it's Menucha. Right? I'll say again, Yerushalayim has been from the beginning, has been the site, ultimately, again, of so much struggle between the nations of the world. I'm not a historian, but I'd venture to say there's no city in the history of mankind that has been at the center of struggle as much as Yerushalayim from the beginning of time. Remember again, when Avram Avinu comes back from the war of the four kings against the five, he comes back to Malki Tzedek, Melech Shalim. So people come to rest from war in Yerushalayim. People come to do war in Yerushalayim. So Nachala, says the Gemara, is a good descriptive term. Because again, it's our eternal portion. Very important to remind ourselves of this every once in a while. It is our, the entire thing is ours, right? It's our eternal portion. But Menucha, what's the pshat with Menucha? So the Gemara says, my Menucha. So we'll say, it's interesting. You would have thought, again, because it's a piece of tranquility, spiritual elation. The Gemara doesn't say that. The Gemara says, Menuchas Aron. It is the place where the Aron rests, which Rabbi says is a very dramatic idea. The Aron Bris was located in many different places throughout history, and wherever it is now. I will say, but there is one place where ultimately, again, it is at rest, and that is in Yerushalayim HaKadosh. The Gemara says, "Dechsev vayhi kenoach Aron," because the pasuk says, and it was when the Aron rested. So I'll say, so therefore, again, now we've seen that even if you hold that both Menucha and Nachala refer to one place, either Shiloh or Yerushalayim, we see how each of the terms Menucha and Nachala refer to different aspects of Shiloh and different aspects of Yerushalayim. Bishlam leman damar zuvzu Yerushalayim, aval Shiloh hava shar yabamos. So we'll say, listen to this. If you hold that both Menucha and Nachala refer to Yerushalayim, so we'll say, it's actually very important. Because remember, again, this has direct impact on a very important halacha we just learned before, which was what? Remember, according to the Gemara in Amud Aleph, which was going according to the approach that Menucha and Nachala refer to two different places. Menucha is where? Oh, seriously? Right? Menucha Shiloh, right? It's one more blot to Menachos. It's one more blot. Come on, just stick with me. Don't bleed out over here at the end. Right? So the Gemara says as follows. So remember again, if you go with the simple, the Pashat Pshat on Amud Aleph, which is that Menucha refers to Shiloh, Nachala refers to Yerushalayim. So we'll say there's a very important halachic concept which comes from that, which is Moshe Rabbeinu telling them that Bamos will be Aser in Menucha and Nachala. But what? In between Menucha and Nachala, what's the halacha? Bamos are permitted. So that was a very important halacha that drove almost everything for the last four blots, which I question your attentiveness during the last four blots. Right? So that drove a lot of our conversation over the last couple of days. If you entertain the possibility that Menucha and Nachala are also referred to the same place, then I'm stuck. Because then what it's telling me is, well, actually, the truth is, I don't know what it's telling me then about Heter Bamos, about the permissibility of using Bamos in all of these different stages. So the Gemara says as follows. So watch this. So according to the opinion, it says that both Menucha and Nachala refer to Yerushalayim, right? Menucha refers to the fact that it's the place of where the Aron rested. Nachlod is the eternal portion of Klal Yisrael. So, Aval Shilo Havashar Yabamos. So, Rabbi say, now watch this. If you Menucha and Nachla both refer to Yerushalayim, then Rabbi say, what does that tell you? That all the way until the building of the Beis HaMikdash. Right? Then what Rabbi say? And remember, building of the Beis HaMikdash is almost like 425 years from time that Klali, so 14 plus 57 plus 369. So whatever that amount is, that's the amount of time until Klali so went ahead and built the Beis HaMikdash. So what you're telling me then is that both if Menucha and Nachal Rabosai refer to Yerushalayim Rabosai, then what? Then Bamos are permitted all the way until the time of the Beis HaMikdash. Which Rabosai, with that, how many years? 430. So, right, so if you do that, we'll say, if you do that, then halacha lemaisa, you've just dramatically changed Jewish history, right? That you've just gone ahead and from the time that Klal Yisrael went into Eretz Yisrael for 430 years, ultimately again, is there a math machlokas? 431. Okay. Less than 435, we'll say it, right? So the idea is if you're going into Eretz Yisrael, if you're home in Nucha Nachla, both for Yerushalayim, then halacha lemaisa, they're using Bamos all the way until the Beis HaMikdash, which actually says the Gemara helps us with a problematic story. Dechsev, vayikach manoach es gedia izim, ves hamincha, vayal alatzor lahashem. We'll say the Gemara makes reference to a dramatic story, which is the story of the birth of Shimshon, right? The birth of Shimshon. And we'll say, remember again, the story we read, Shimshon's mother is told by the Malach that she's going to have a baby, he's going to be a Nazir Mibetan, and then what happens? Right, her husband doesn't totally believe the story, husband sees the Malach, husband builds an altar right there to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now that was during the times ultimately again of Shiloh, and Manoach, Shimshon's father is what? Is building a bama. Now, up until now, that story is very problematic for us. Why? Because there's no private bamos when Shiloh was standing. So how is Manoach able to build an altar? Oh, now we have a beautiful answer for it. If you hold Menucha and Nachala, ultimately, if you hold Menucha and Nachala refers both to Yerushalayim, that means bamos are permitted for the 430... What? 440. Good, 440. Right, if you hold it right for the entire 440 years, I will say then bamos are permitted. Then I understand how Manoach built a mizbeach. How he built the bama. Eleman da'amer zuvazu shiloh ubamos havasirin. My vayikach Manoach. But I will say if you hold that ultimately again. That both refer to Shiloh, that both Menuch and Nachla refer to Shiloh, but say that means that what? That certainly again, that Bamos are also during times of Shiloh, then how was Manoach able to build a Bama to HaKadosh Baruch Hu after hearing about the miraculous birth of his son? To which the Gemara says, Horas Shah Haisa. Manoach's case is an exception, I'll say what we call a Horas Shah, that the Malach told him to build the Mizbeach. So if the Malach told him to build the Mizbeach, ultimately again he built the Mizbeach. Which Rabbos say, in general, is an interesting discussion about, you know, in this week's parasha you have the Mesis, the person who tells you to go against the word of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Navi Sheker. So again, apparently if the Malach tells you, you can do it, but the Navi Sheker tells you you can't do it. So in any event, the Gemara answered by saying it was an exception. It was an exception. Tana, Devi Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. So we'll say, in the Yeshiva Rabbi Shmuel, they taught in accordance with Rashbi. With Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. You must remember again, Rashbi was of the opinion, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai said, Zu v'zu Yerushalayim. He taught that both Menucha and Nachala refer to Yerushalayim. So we'll say, in the Yeshiva of Rabbi Shmuel, they were teaching in accordance with Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. V'si Malach, and how do you remember this? Mashchi Gavra LeGavri. The one man was able to go ahead and convince the other. So apparently, again, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai's original opinion was that of a solitary opinion, that both Menucha and Nachala both refer to Yerushalayim, but apparently he was able to win over larger numbers of people as they were teaching his limud in the yeshiva of Rabbi Yishmael. I will say, just so you should know, again, obviously it's a machlokes, and it's a historical machlokes. It appears, based on our Gemaras, that that's not the conventional understanding. The conventional understanding of Menucha and Nachala is as we have been approaching it this entire time, which is what? Which is Menucha is Shiloh, Nachala is Yerushalayim. Bamos are Aser during the time of Shiloh. Bamos are forever Aser once the Beis HaMikdash is built. But in between the periods of time of Shiloh and the Beis HaMikdash, Bamos are permitted. During Nov and Givon, Bamos are permitted. In Gilgal, Bamos are permitted. Says the Gemara, Kala Kodshim. So remember again, the Mishnah then said, The Mishnah then said, Kol HaKodshim. I'm sorry. This was HaKodshim. The next part of the Mishnah dealt with an interesting situation where you consecrate karbanos during a time of, let's say, heter bamos, and you offer it up during a time of iser bamos. So the Gemara dealt with all of the different variations over here. So the first statement in the Mishnah was that if you went ahead, kol hakodshim shekdishim b'shas iser bamos, if you sanctified a karban during the time when bamos were aser, v'ekriven b'shas iser bamos, and you offered it up when bamos were aser, outside of the Beis HaMikdash, in other words, you did everything that was aser, then the halacha was, you chayv karis. But ekdishon b'shas heter bamos, v'ekriven b'shas iser bamos, if you sanctified the carbon at a time when bamos were aser, but what happens? You went ahead and you offered it up at a time when bamos were permitted. Excuse me, just the opposite, actually. You sanctified it at a time when bamos were permitted, but you offered it up at a time when bamos were aser, then the halacha is you are over on an iser, but you do not get kares. So says the Gemara, Amrav Kano, lo shanu ela b'shchita. Aval b'halo kares nami mechayiv. So Moshe comes along Rav Kahana and he says as follows: Lo shanu. Rashi says diktani dikdishan b'shas heter ve'krivan b'shas iser in b'kares. When we said in the Mishnah that if you sanctify a carbon, Rav said at a time when bamos are permitted, and you offer them up, you offer it up b'chutz on a bama kitana, on your own bama, when bamos are aser. So consecration took place when bamos were permitted, but yet offering took place when bamos were prohibited. So the Mishnah Paskin, it's aser, right? There's an iser, but you're not chayv kares. Rav Kahana qualifies that. He says that's true with shchita. That's true with shchita. If you shecht it bachutz, you will be chayv in iser, but there is no kares. But if you actually offer it up as a karban, there is a chayv kares. My time, what's his reason? Damakra, va'alehem tomar. Because we'll say the pasuk says this pasuk is talking about ultimately the offering up of a karbon valeim tomar ala smuchin tomar. So we'll say ultimately again this pasuk is juxtaposed to the section concerning shchita. So therefore again the Gemara sort of kind of coming along to say that it's dafka the shchita where ultimately if one does it bachutz it will not be an iser kares, but if one does ha'alah, if one offers up the karbon outside, in fact there will be kares. So also remember again, I just want to point out, Rav Kahana is speaking about a very specific case here. This is the case where you were makdish the karbon at the time when bamos were permitted, but you offered it up at a time where bamos were prohibited. Rav Kahana says for shchita, you're not chayiv karis. Shchita b'chutz not chayiv karis, but ha'alah b'chutz you'll be chayiv karis. And based on this pasuk, so maskev al Rava. Rava says, but 1 second, miksiv va'aleim tomar. Does the pasuk says va'aleim with an ayin, which Rabbi said would mean that you can learn that from the juxtaposition. Aleihem with an aleph ksiv va'o tanya abba klalos hayir b'shimin omer. Rav Shimon said 4 principles when it came to kodshim. Rabbi said, what are the 4 principles? Hekdishin b'shas esra b'mos v'shachat ve'la b'shas esra b'mos. If you shechted an animal, excuse me, if you consecrated an animal at a time when bamos were aser, and you shechted it and you offered it up while bamos were aser, which Rabbi said everything is aser here. So what's the halacha? Harehin ba'asei v'los aser b'vish b'hen karis. Rabbi said that's just the classic case of shchutei chutz. Bamos are aser, and you consecrated the animal, you offered it up outside, you shechted it, and you offered it up while bamos are aser. That's shchutei chutz, yichayv karis. Next case, hekdisho mishas hetra bamos. If you consecrated it when bamos were permitted, v'shachat v'hela b'shas isir habamos, and we'll say, and you shechted it, and you offered it up when bamos are aser, harehin ba'asei v'los asei ve'ein bahen karis. So we'll say, that's the explicit case that we're talking about over here. So yet, what do you see? Rabbi Shimon is saying explicitly that if you shechted it and you offered it up bachutz, even at a time of Isra Bamos, ultimately again, you are not chayiv kares. Hikdishon b'shas Isra Bamos. If you went and you were makdish in the time of Bamos or Asr, v'shachat v'hela bachutz, b'shas hetra Bamos, and you went ahead and you shechted it and you offered it up outside the time when Bamos were permitted, harhein ba'aseh, that you're in violation of a positive commandment, v'ein b'hen b'lo sa'aseh. and there is no lo sase. Hekdishin b'shas heter abamas, v'shachat vela b'shas heter abamas. We'll say this last case is the obvious one. You consecrated it when bamas were permitted. You shechted it and offered it up when bamas were permitted. Then ultimately, again, pater miklum, to which the Gemara says, you're right, tiyufta d'Rav Kahana tiyufta. So we'll say this statement of Rav Shimon effectively refutes the statement of Rav Kahana. Therefore, we'll say, so Rav Kahana wanted to say that in the case where you consecrated the carbon at a time when bamas were permitted, but you didn't actually end up offering it up until a time where bamos were prohibited. So Rav Kahana suggested that if you just did the shechita b'chutz, you're only in violation of alosa say, but not kares. But if you actively offer it up, you are chayiv kares. The Gemara now effectively refutes that position ultimately again from the Mishnah, as well as from the statement of, who was it? Of Rabbi Shimon. And I will say, halacha l'maisa, in a case where you consecrated the carbon at a time where bamos were permitted, and you offered it up outside a time where bamos were prohibited, shchita ha'aloa, you will be in violation of a lav, but there is no kares. I will say, essentially, the only time you get kares for shchutei chutz on a bama ketana is when everything takes place when bamos are prohibited. If consecration and offering all take place when bamos are prohibited, that's when you get kares. If one of those pieces are missing, there could be a lav, there could be an assay, but there is no kares. Weiter. Ve'ilu kachim. So we'll say, remember again, the Mishnah then goes ahead and discusses the various differences between things that you do on a bama and things that you do outside. So ve'ilu kachim kredim mishkan. So the Mishnah said, so listen to this. So the Mishnah goes through the list. So smicha. So we'll say, you only do smicha inside the Beis HaMikdash or inside the Mishkan, or I should say on a bama gidola, but never on a bama kitana. Why not? Smicha, tichsiv lifnei Hashem v'samach. Because we'll say smicha is only done lifnei Hashem. We'll say lifnei Hashem. Just to understand, the lashon of the Mishnah over here was uma bein bama siachal lebama sibor. Was just a private bama and a communal bama. Smicha shechita safon. So now we're going to see why that is. Smicha tichsiv lifnei Hashem. So we'll say smicha because the pasuk says lifnei Hashem. When it comes, we do smicha before God. We'll say we always, in all of these contexts, you understand, before God refers to what we'll say, literally again, in the makom mishkan / mikdash. Before God means not on your private altar. Before God means on the centralized altar. Therefore, smicha is lifnei Hashem. Sheikh das tzafon, the obligation to shecht certain karbonos in the north. Tichsiv tzafon lifnei Hashem. Same idea. Matnos savith, putting blood on all of the corners of the mizbeach to sieve. The zorach al hamizbeach saviv. Here's the other piece. The pasuk says, "You shall sprinkle it al hamizbeach." The mizbeach. That's the hayidia, the definitive article. So hamizbeach means what? The mizbeach. The mizbeach refers to which mizbeach? The centralized mizbeach of the Mishkan or the Beis HaMikdash. Tenufa, waving obligation. The chsiv, v'henif akoyin lifnei Hashem, has to be done before God. Hagosha, the bringing close of the carbon. The chsiv, v'hegisha el hamizbeach. Ultimately, again, it is brought close to the mizbeach. Rabbi Huda Omer, ein mincha b'bama. So Rabbi Huda says, we don't offer up menachos by a bama. So Rav Sheshes just says, according to the opinion who says that you offer up menachos on a bama, you could also offer up burnt offerings on a bama. So the Gemara says, "Ledivrei Omer ein mincha b'bama." But if you hold that there is no mincha on a bama, ein ofos b'bama. We don't offer up burnt offerings on a bama as well. Zvachim. So what's the drasha? Zvachim v'lo menachos. Because we'll say the pasuk says that you could offer up. Right, Lamana Asher Yaviu Bnei Yisrael Zivcheihem Asher Zovchem. So the pasuk says Zvachim. So we darshan Zvachim below Menachos, Zvachim below Ofos. So we'll say that opinion. We'll darshan Zvachim means animal karbanos, Zvachim and not Menachos, Zvachim and not Ofos. The coin. We'll say, how do I know that I don't need a coin on a bama? Dechsev v'zorak hakoin. Because we'll say ultimately again the din of Zrika, which is a din ultimately again by the bama gidola, is done by a coin. So ultimately again, a coin only is needed in the bama gidol, in the centralized altar. Big day, banana bama kitana. Big day sharis. Also, furthermore, again, you don't need big day sharis. You don't need any particular special type of vestments to do an offering on a bama kitana. Lish sharis bakodesh. Because also, by big day sharis, the pasuk says he will serve in the kodesh. Bigdei Sharis Kohanic vestments are only necessary when or where? Inside the Beis HaMikdash or the Mishkan itself. Ukli Sharis, it will say, I don't need a Kli Sharis either. Why not? Ashe Yishar Subam Bakodesh. Because ultimately, again, the Pasuk says that they will go ahead and Yishar Subam. They will go ahead and literally serve with it in the Kodesh. L'Reach Nichoach, so we'll say the Gemara goes weiter. For a pleasing aroma. So also remember again, Reach Nichoach, what was Reach Nichoach? The halacha is, interesting halacha about the Beis HaMikdash, you cannot pre-roast meat. The idea is that the meat has to be roasted on the Mizbeach itself. That's the Reach Nichoach. The Reach Nichoach is the pleasing aroma which comes from meat which is roasted on the altar. If you pre-roast it, then the fragrant aroma of roasting meat is already released, and therefore when you put it back on the Mizbeach, it's not going to be as fragrant. So we'll say that din only applies on the Bama Gedola, not on the Bama Ketana, only on the centralized altar, not on the private altar. So it says the Gemara, Reach Nichoach, Dichsiv, L'Reach Nichoach, LaHashem. Because again, it says a pleasing aroma to Hashem. How do we interpret LaHashem? LaHashem ultimately teaches me that what? That Halacha L'Maisa, there's only a din of Reach Nichoach when you're before God. Before God, meaning on the Bama Gedola, a large altar, and not on the private altar, not on the Bama Ketana. Bosa, just by the way, I'll just tell it to you now, just very quickly outside, before the Gemara darshan about Zurika. So Rashi, I'll just read this outside. Rashi says, Vizarka koin es adam azveach Hashem Pesach, Vidarshim vidaras koin in parashat shchutei chutz, Zurikas koin Pesach o amoid, Ven Zurikas koin bebama. Elaaf hazorin vavon. So we'll say, so the din, that was just before, we learn out that you need a koin, ultimately, again, in the Beis HaMikdash, or in Shiloh, by Bama Gedola, because there the Pasuk itself says, Avoda is done by a coin. Vizarak a coin. That teaches you that the coin is necessary for Avoda. But there is no din, ultimately, again, of Kahuna, by a Bama Ketana. Good. So the Gemara goes right there. Well, let's just do a few more lines. Mechitza b'damim. What about mechitza? Mechitza means that on the mizbeach. Remember again, there was the chut asikra, the red line. That was the divider. Some blood is sprinkled above the red line. Some blood is sprinkled below the red line. There is no din for a mechitza by a bama ketana, right? There is no din for a dividing line on a bama ketana. D'chsev v'aisa reshes ad chatzi hamizbeach. Both say same idea. Literally, again, the reshes, which was actually the netting on the mizbeach, was the middle of the mizbeach. So, both say the idea is the dividing line was a din in hamizbeach, not a din in bama ketana. Richo tzedayim. So, both say what about the washing of hands? Tichsev. So, both say that's also only a din in the mizbeach, not a din in the bama ketana. Tichsev ubekerba sam el mizbeach yuchatzu. Because the pasuk says when the kohen comes close to the mizbeach, he will go ahead and have to wash. So, both say same idea. Hamizbeach teaches me that richos etayim raglan, the washing of hands and feet, is only a prerequisite to in service of the centralized mizbeach, not on a bama ketana. Amar Rechama, Amar Rami Bar Chama, lo shanu ella bekadshei bama ketana vekrivim bama ketana. So say Rami Bar Chama says, if you look at Rashi, lo shanu diyesh mechitza l'dam in bama gedola. But say, when do we say that there's only a need for a mechitza, for a dividing line? On the mizbeach, that's only bekadshei bama ketana vekrivim bama ketana. We'll say, so if you have kachim which are designated for a bama ketana, which are offered up on a bama ketana, then there is no need for a dividing line on the mizbeach. That is correct. Ava, we'll say first wide line on the bottom. Ava bekadshei bama ketana vekarvinu bama gedola. We'll say it's actually a very interesting halacha. But if you go ahead and you have kachim bama ketana, offerings which belong on a bama ketana, which were offered up on a bama gedola, Yesh Chitzui. Then Rabbo said you would have the obligation to do the proper blood offerings above and below the line. So Rabbo said it's actually a very interesting halacha. So Rabbi Baracham is coming along and saying that there is no din of sprinkling above the line or below the line of Bama Ketana. But if you took an offering which was going to be offered on a Bama Ketana and you offered it where? On a Bama Gedola, you would have to do the blood applications in the right places. Mosiv Rabba. Rabbi says, one second, Chazei V'shok. When it comes to the waving of the chest and the thigh of the animal, truma slach metoda, or for that matter, again, the truma slach metoda, noagin bekachi bama gedola, vein noagin bekachi bama ketana. So we would normally assume that what's the halacha? So what you see from here, Rabosai, is the halachos of a bama ketana apply, excuse me, certain things which are applicable on a bama gedola only apply if done on a bama gedola. But Bepasha Sabosa, if something belongs on a Bama Kitana, it is exempted from a lot of the halachos that really regulate sacrificial service on a Bama Gedola. Even if what? Presumably, even if that item itself is actually offered up on the Bama Gedola. In other words, what Rav Kahana is coming along, or Rabbi is coming along and saying, is that once something is designated for a Bama Kitana, the halachos of a Bama Gedola do not apply to it, even if what? Even if what? Even if it is actually offered up on a Bama Gedola. Vaharaya, all of these things are both said, like the waving of Chazei Vishok, Ema, Noagid Babama Gedola, Vein Noagid Babama Kitana. Rather, you right say that they apply ultimately again on the Bama Gedola, and they do not apply on the Bama Kitana. Ikitana will say they have another version of this exchange. It's just an alternate version of this previous exchange. Rami Bar Chama said, we only learned Ela Bekatshe Bama Gedola, the Grivim Bama Gedola. When do you require blood applications above and below the line? That's only if it's an offering for a Bama Gedola that is offered up on the Bama Gedola. Avababama Katshe Kitana Afa Gav the Karvinu Bama Gedola in Chitzui. But ultimately, going to say, if you have Katshim of a Bama Kitana, even if they are offered up on a Bama Gedola, we do not go ahead and start doing different blood applications. Which is another way of saying that if it's a carbon that belongs on a Bama Kitana, then it has the identity of a Bama Kitana offering, to the point that what Rabbi say, even if you actually offered up on the Bama Gedola, it is not subject to the laws of a Bama Gedola. Let's bring a proof to this. If you have the chest and the thigh of the animal, or the truma, the blows of Lachmei Toda, Noagin Bekatshe Bama Gedola, Vein Noagin Bekatshe Bama Kitana. So at first glance it says we conduct them like they were offered up on a Bama Gedola and not like a Bama Kitana. Ema, Noagin Bama Gedola, Ve'ein Noagin Bama Kitana. Ultimately say that Rabbi say these things only apply in a Bama Gedola, not on a Bama Kitana. Upliga de Rabbi Elazar, Dan Rabbi Elazar, Olas Bamas Yachid Shech Nisa Bifnim, Katua Mechitzas Lechol Davar. Rabbi say, according to this version, this last statement argues on Rabbi Elazar. Because what does Rabbi Elazar say? But this will conclude. Olas Bamas Yachid. Rabbi say, if you took an Ola, which was ultimately supposed to be offered up on a Bamas Yachid, Shech Nisa Bifnim, and you brought it inside of the Mishkan, Kaltua mechitzos, the mechitzos absorb it, l'chol davar, for all matters, which Rabbi says. So it turns out, I'm sorry that I did this last part very quickly, but it turns out, Rabbi says, that what? That ultimately, again, there's a fundamental machlokis. What's the fundamental machlokis, Rabbi says? If you take something that was supposed to go on a bamas yachid, and you bring it inside the Beis HaMikdash, not the Beis HaMikdash, you bring it inside the Mishkan, Rabbi says, obviously, this is a very unique case. That only comes up where? Only comes up where? Only comes up in Gilgal, or ultimately, again, between Shiloh and the Beis HaMikdash, where there still was a Mishkan, but yet you had Heter Bamos. If you had something that you were going to offer up on your private Bama, and now you bring it up, you bring it into the Mishkan Rabbos, I said, then what's the discussion? What is the status of that offering? Do we treat that offering still like an individual offering offered up on a Bama Siyachid, in which case, for example, there is no blood applications below the line, above the line, or do we say no? Once you are brought into the Mishkan, then what? Then what? You have the status of a Mishkan offering. Clearly, Rabbi Elazar holds that if even if you are originally going to be on a Bama Siyachid, if you are brought inside the Mishkan, then you are treated like a Mishkan offering in all ways. Everyone else seems to say that no. Once a Bama Siyachid offering, always a Bamas Yachad offering. And therefore, even if you are actually offered up on the Bamas Sibur, you are still treated like a carbon of a Yachid, and therefore no blood applications above or below the red line. Shkach, what's your stuff here? Sorry for going late.
Thank you, please. Here are your belongings from the room.